Yo, you already know what it do. Price, Rob, Big Visky, Bruh Migos Podcast in the building.
Like the Mickey Mouse Show.
Yep, baby. Mickey Mouse Show.
Back again, weekly episode. Y'all already know. Remember, always.
What they gotta do?
Like and subscribe.
There it is right there.
You know, you always got to like and subscribe, tell your people about it.
In your house.
The news. Yeah, we in your house. We're in your house like an old WWE pay-per-view. What's up with y'all? You already know. And to kick off the show, you know, we got to talk NFL, baby. and we got to start with the NFC predictions, aka probably going to be the most exciting football division. So, Rob, what NFC West.
First,
I'm gonna let you go ahead because I know you like this division. I'm gonna let you go ahead and prep us with your overview of how you see this division playing out.
So I'm gonna put this on the poll for y'all, and we're gonna talk it out. We're gonna hash it out. But like, is this gonna be the most exciting division? Because I think all four of these teams are going to be generally solid. Like between the Cardinals, Seahawks, Rams, and the 49ers, I think they're gonna be pretty solid team. But they're not gonna be great. They're not gonna be bad. They're gonna be right in that range. Because it's kind of like the, you know, even though he ain't there no more, the Geno Smith range. It's like, you ain't gonna be up here. You ain't gonna be too much down here. It's gonna be a medium floor, medium ceiling, and you're just gonna get a lot of just action right in here. Just a lot of people beating each other up. But no, man, I think this is gonna be one of the most exciting divisions. Like these matchups, I think are gonna be good. These teams, I think, are gonna be pretty good. So like, no, man, I'm excited to see these games once they actually roll out.
Fisky, is there any team in this NFC West that makes you say, I like them? Who do you see?
I mean, as much as it pains me to say, I will say the 49ers, I think they're gonna really get back to their old self. I don't see them having another down year like last year. You know, like, I think Brock Purdy's still going to do him. Injuries. We got to see how that's going to play out for them, first of all. You know, they had an injury-prone season last year. So when they come back from all them injuries, you know, and, you know, see who still want to be there and everything. And, you know, that too, you know. So I think they're going to be the most exciting, I want to say.
You think the most excited? What about you, Rob? Who do you think is going to be the most excited to come out of this division?
Ooh, so we're going to talk about them, but I think the one that basically tickles my fancy is actually the Seahawks. It surprises people because when they picked up Sam Darnold, signed him to a 3-year, $100 million contract, it's like, what the fuck are y'all doing? Y'all basically gave away Geno Smith, or basically did not keep Geno Smith. And now y'all got Sam Darnold in here. But the thing about Sam Darnold, and yes, I'm a little biased here. I will basically say that point blank. He is more in my heart than he has ever been. All right? Purple and gold will always be in his bloodstream, just like he will always be in my memories. But the thing about it is when it comes to him and Cooper Kupp, who is now in that same division to play the LA Rams, his former team, twice, who basically was, you know, they had to kind of give him up, but it was also that they gave him up. And so that level of revenge, they're going to be on a revenge tour, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see it. That and that defense. I really love that defense, what they got. And I like JSN, Jackson Smith, and Jigba. I like what they got here. I really
okay. I won't reveal my team just yet because we are going to talk about it, but we're going to kick this off with, is Stafford a good ticking time bomb or a bad ticking time bomb? And I will say this, Rob. Look. Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. Oh, how you are 37 years old and a Ram. You only have Jimmy Garoppolo behind you. And then a second year and a first year. He can be either one of these, Rob. But I'm going to say right now, I'm going to give him the grace of Father Time, and I'm going to say he's going to be a good ticking time bomb as of right now. Matthew Stafford is their only hope right now to me.
Yeah.
He is. He is the LA Rams' only quarterback hope. Who else do they have? Are you really going to subject your team to Jimmy Garoppolo?
Not on purpose.
Please don't.
Because that's who you have.
Please don't.
I mean, if it's a modeling competition, then yeah, he's first round pick, but not anything else.
So, like I said, are you gonna subject yourself to this? No, no. Mm-mm. He has to be as good of a Matthew Stafford as he was last year. Mm-hmm. He has to be. He is their only hope. Now, as far as the rest of the team, not too sure because they gave them some pieces. They got some new pieces. The roster is in flux a little bit. But as far as him, I think that he's a good ticking time bomb. What do you think, though, Rob?
So I think that he's going to be a good ticking time bomb for this team because he does have pieces. Like, you got Kyron Williams from
the Lou.
Thank you. Thank you. But you have Puka Nacua still. They just picked up Davante Adams. Yep. Like, that's going to be a nice 1-2 punch. Like, Puka Nacua has established himself as a clear number one. Davante Adams does not have to be a number one. He has to just be a good number two, similar to what he was kind of doing, you know, in the latter end with the Jets. And so, like, he just got to be enough. And the thing about it is, when it comes to, being a good ticket time bomb, it just has to be that threat of execution when it comes to them. It has to be to where they have to execute better than what they could be, because this is it. And when you got a Matt Stafford who is in year 17, who basically, like you said, is 37 years old, who has had a lot of beat down to him when it comes to what he was when he was on the Lions and everything he's had to overcome throughout his career, this is to where the ratcheting up, what they say, has to be on full tilt. And they still got Jared Verse, who I love, who was coming in a year two. Brian Young. They got stuff. And they got basically things that they could build around. Mm-hmm. They did show well in the playoffs last year. I think that this is a team that can play very well, man.
Bitsky, do you think he's going to be a good ticking time bomb, or do you think he's going to be a bad ticking time bomb?
Honestly, I would have to agree with Rob. I think a good ticking time bomb, mainly because of the pieces he has around him. You have a great running back who, for me, last season established himself as, you know, possibly a top 10 running back in the league in Kyron Williams. Plus Nacua, who's, like you say, he established himself as a number one. And you got Davante Adams. So offensively, I think they got the pieces to help Matthew Stafford, you know, to prolong his, you know, his skill set, prolong his good days. So that is going to be it. The thing for me is, how will the defense help out the offense? You know, hopefully they don't put them in a position to have to climb back into so many games, you know, because that's going to be the thing. Because if the defense is going to hurt them or hinder them and force them to have to always come back, that could be where we see some issues. But if they start off hot and, you know, they get the offense going in the games, and, you know, I think that could be success. I think they got a great chance to win the division, you know, so that's why I would like to see that battle. You know, it's going to be good to see.
Yeah. Now, from the Ram in the Bush to the Red Bird that isn't in St. Louis, the Cardinals are about to annoy us to death, baby. Rob, I cannot agree with this more, because this is the team that has my interest of the most. And some people will say, why? Why? I'm going to explain to you why. Kyler Murray has shown you at times he can be very, very dynamic. He just needs pieces around him. Even though Marvin Harrison Jr. wasn't what we thought he might be in his rookie year, we're looking for him to take a step forward. On top of that, they have made moves to make sure that they are securing wide receivers, more specifically, 6'1" Bryson Green. So with that said, I'm looking at them and I'm saying, Bryson Green, Marvin Harrison Jr., James Conner is there, Trey Benson is there. You have a, I'm going to say, I'll say top 10 tight end for sure, Trey McBride. You got a lot of good pieces there. And with him getting a chance to really have an offense around him, I think that this year we might see Kyler Murray flourish and throw for an easy 4,000 plus. Of course, we all know he's hard to catch in the backfield. He's like a grease midget, you know you?
Badass.
Yeah, yeah. He's like one of the badass kids at the park, bro. You can't catch his ass too easy. He's going to make you work for it. He's definitely going to make you work for it. And the other thing that I will say about this is, I don't know if you noticed, but he has seemed to avoid a lot of big hits so far in his career. He's been very good about getting down and saying, nah, you ain't about to hit me with that. And I like that. Now, with that being said, Rob, this was yours. What do you think is up and coming for the Cardinals?
Like you said, man, they're going to annoy us. And the reason why I think that they're going to annoy us is because they're going to be good enough to be good teams and then play shitty enough to play to get beat by shitty teams. Like they're going to basically make it to where it's like they're going to be just like, I wanted to play Michael Wilson or let's say Marvin Harrison Jr., which I have a whole nother thing about him that is the whole tangent that we're going to go down in the future. But like the thing about like with this team is like, I think they're going to be enough to where it's like these teams on their schedule, like they're going to be able to beat. Let me pull up their schedule real quick. Like they're going to be able to beat teams like the Packers. You know, they go beat a team like I was about to say the Cowboys. But they're not good. What else? They're going to beat teams like the Texans. Like they're going to beat some teams that basically you can be like, oh, you beat them, but then you lost to, you know, the Titans, and then you lost to the Colts, and you're like, where the fuck were y'all? What was y'all doing? And really, to be honest, looking at their schedule, they could actually win a good like 9-10 games easy. Like they schedule ain't really that bad, but be that as it may, like this is a team that's going to annoy us, and it's going to be cool though, because it's like it's going to be, you know, good cardio, like that stress that you just get that is just like, yeah, you are playing below your weight class, but you getting beat. I don't understand it. Why are you doing this? Why are you like this? But it's all good. It's all good. It's good for the soul, I guess.
Visky, Cardinals, what do you think?
I've listened year after year for people to hype up Kyler Murray and to tell me they're going to make some noise. And all I can see is them being real great fantasy picks. Year after year, they tend to do good in fantasy football, but when it comes to wins and losses, they just not cutting the mustard for me. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know if it's coaching or what they got, but I don't see them making it out with a lot of wins. Like, I'd give them a 500, maybe 8 and 9, 9 and 8. But from what they've shown me, I don't really see them getting over the hump. Like, I feel like they y'all say annoying. They might play spoiler. You know, they might mess up something, mess up another team's division win, or knock a team out of the playoffs at the end of the season. But as far as them making noise themselves, I don't see. The only noise they're going to make is annoying the shit out of other fan bases who was fighting for a spot, and the Cardinals the one that took them out the spot. That's all I see. Stop trying to sell me on the goddamn Cardinals because I ain't buying.
You ain't with it? You
back in my pocket.
You ain't with it, dog?
Like I say, you see, put my wallet back in my pocket. I ain't buying.
Now, from one bird to another. The cup and Darnold revenge tour coming this fall, Rob. Whenever I saw that you put this up here, I thought about it. The Seahawks got some splaining to do. The front office, got some explaining to do. Because as we said, Geno Smith walked away. Well, they let him walk away. And you got Sam Darnold. But then you went and drafted a rookie QB too, and Jalen Milroe. I don't know what message you're sending. I don't know if you're telling Sam, we love you. You're only 8 years in, you're 28. We think we got a lot of future. We also think that you might be a lot of hurt too. Maybe that's what they're thinking.
This is where I disagree. Because I think when I saw them, they picked up Jalen Milroe. I think that they were like, we got three, and when they signed Sam Darnold 3 years, he's like, we got 3 years, Jalen, to basically make you good. We got 3 years to make you an NFL quarterback. And because they, Jalen Milroe is not going to back up. Sam Darnold. Like, I can't remember who the other quarterback that they got on.
Drew Lock.
Yeah. So Drew Lock is going to be the backup quarterback of that team. So, like, this is an all potential quarterback room when you talk about, you know, Sam Darnold, who was supposed to be number one pick coming out when he was in that draft class. Drew Lock, who was projected at one point or another to be going high in his draft class. And then Jalen Milroe, who we thought was probably going to go, who had a possibility of going to the Steelers in the first round because of his potential and what he had talent wise. But he's a project. And I think that them treating him like he's a project, getting an established NFL quarterback who basically just coming off a Pro Bowl season, whether you like it or not, basically is in Sam Darnold right there to start for you for however long. And then pulling in, you know, you got Drew Lock, who has been a backup, who not great, but like is a competent backup. That he has basically room to kind of, or he is in Jalen Milroe, has room to get mature, figure out what's going on, get a good, you know, footing, and then possibly come into games. Hopefully, I hope they don't do the little gadget shit with him. Like, I hope that they keep him trying to be a quarterback and not trying to make him Cordell Stewart. Yeah. Like, I think that he needs to basically be treated as a quarterback because I think he has the talent. Like, he has everything to do it. It's just that he's got to get the chance at this level. And I think he will eventually. It's just going to take some time.
Fitzky, what do you think about this Seahawks team?
Now, I was the one really scratching my head. You let Geno go, your son DK somewhere, you let Tyler Lockett go. I was like, what are y'all tanking? I thought they was trying to tank. But you know, then they got some good pickups. Now, as an Alabama fan, I was like, what the fuck are you doing drafting Jalen Milroe? Because even as an Alabama fan, I saw not one game where if I was an NFL owner, I was like, I need that guy on my team. Hell no. So I don't know what kind of project they want to do with him. Maybe I don't know what they're going to do with Jalen because he ain't the future. Unless he's just going to come out and surprise me when they do try to play him. But I'm real interested to see what the Seahawks are going to do with the new pieces they have. You know, because Sam Darnold, he did show that he could probably be the man in the right situation. So, like, I'm interested to see what Sam Darnold going to do. I don't really think they make too much of some noise. No, it's going to be a figuring out type of season, I think. It's going to be a figuring out type of thing, figuring out who's the man, who do we go to. So that's what I'm interested in seeing. But please, Seahawks, listen. As an Alabama fan, don't trust Milroe. You see what happened to us. Don't do
it. So when Reese Davis said that Jalen Milroe got the let a naysayer no tattoo, you one of them naysayers. That's what you saying, dog.
I am. Put naysayer right here.
I mean, yeah, like right here. As the audience can see, like, yeah, we've got naysayers all over here. But yeah, he is a true naysayer. I thought he was at least pretty decent. Like, he had the traits and everything like that. And because one of the things is, like, when you saw like what happened with Anthony Richardson last year, where he was supposed to be a project, but it was like, nah, we got to get this on the field now. We got to take advantage of this now, and it kind of busted him mentally, physically, and everything like that. I thought that they would try to do that same thing with Jalen Milroe, or at least do the opposite with Jalen Milroe, where it's like, even though I know he's not the same class as Anthony Richardson or whatever as far as projects, but like basically kind of feel him into it. And because he has the physical traits, now you got to teach him how to play quarterback at the pro level. So, in which that's what you got to do with every NFL, every quarterback that you draft for real.
I'll say this before we move on. Seahawks have a ton of rookies that have a ton of potential on their rookie side. It's a lot of, hey, if we can harness this, this can be good. That includes him. But like you kind of said, they did maybe pay Sam Darnold $100 million to say, hey, we got 3 years to develop this other guy. If we can do this, we may be great, because it also gives the rest of your rookies time to develop. And you can see, because they, I won't say drafted a couple tight ends. They have pieces. They have a lot of rookie potential. Plus, you're probably going to see, you might see Kupp walk away from the game in the next 3 years. He's 32. He may walk away at 35. You never know, 35, 36. So he may walk away and you may get to see a lot. Yeah, he is that old. Yeah, he's 32.
And if you have a picture of what Cooper Kupp it looks like in your head, take a gander at the Seahawks like roster. Whenever you get a chance, and just look, just go down a cup and just look at what you see. All right, just whenever you get a chance, just if you got to pause this, you know, this, you can do that, whether you're in your car or listen to an audio, just go ahead, take a gander what he looks like now and just see if you had the same reaction as I did, which was So just in your free time, just go ahead and do that, audience.
Now, from the Seahawks to the minor 49ers. The Niners still suck. Look here. I'll say this. Rob, they might suck. They might. But they paid their quarterback.
Sure did.
I'll give them that. They paid their quarterback. Now, the 49ers, I feel like I don't know what went wrong. I don't know where trading Debo was an idea. I knew that they had to pay Purdy. We said that a while back. Hey, bro, y'all got to pay this dude. They rolled that contract like a rodeo show to the end before they decided to give him some money. In the words of Riley, why y'all do me like that? Y'all just riding me like a rodeo show. That's what they did to Brock Purdy. Yeah, RIP to the Bulldog. That's what they did to him. And hey, look, they squeezed every drop of juice from that contract before they decided to give him that money. Now, will he have a down season because of the money? If he does, I wouldn't even blame him. I'd be like, as long as y'all took to pay me, bitch, I'm going to take this one off and enjoy some of my money. I might pull Paul George, you know what I mean? I might pull a Paul George on y'all ass real quick. Buddy. Catch me on the jet ski.
Let me go sit down.
I got my bread. Let me go sit my ass down. Man. But I can see where you're kind of getting that they suck.
You kind of don't. And here's why I put it like that, to be honest. So I'm going to take y'all a history lesson of a young Rob. Back in the day, back when I was a wee pup, started watching football on KTVI Channel 2, St. Louis, and the Rams used to come on there. And granted, I wasn't a Rams fan, but I was trying to get into football, trying to watch it.
Right.
I became a Vikings fan because, you know, Tony Banks days, Eddie Kinston, all that. But it was a team that would always come in and just power Randy bomb Moss, the Rams. Also, it was a team that would come in and power bomb the Rams all the time. It was the 49ers. And it was that team that I will eternally hate. Because similar to what my hate is with the Phillies and Brewers and everything like that, all this is ingrained into me as a young child. This is what y'all do to me, sports. And I just wanted y'all to know that. But that's why you got Niners still suck. Because I did just talk greatly about them, like right now, saying that this is going to be an exciting division. So I gave y'all some credit. And the reason why, and I will say the reason why that they went 6-11 last year is because of the injuries. They were beat the fuck up last year. Caffrey was always hurt. Ayuk, I think, was hurt. Like, they had like a shit ton of injuries everywhere, because they always have a shit ton of injuries everywhere. It was just that they weren't able to rebound this year versus the other years. And so, no, I think that they're going to be fine. They're not going to still suck. It's just I had to get some hate off my heart, and I had to give that to y'all and let y'all people know. And so that's really what it comes down to. So I think they're going to be fine, and I think they're going to be pretty decent this year.
I can say that they still might suck. It feels like something might happen. Something might go wrong. Just because they gave him that money, it just feels like something might go wrong. But Jarvis, do you think that they're going to suck? How do you think this Niners team is going to fare out?
As a Cowboys fan, I hope to God y'all suck ass. Nothing would make me happier.
He gets it.
2-15 49ers team. But on the other hand, I will say Brock Purdy has led my fantasy team to back-to-back championships, so I have to give some type of credit. I got him 2 years in a row, and he helped. Ayuk, you was sucked last year. You got to get it together. Even after the injuries and all that, you just didn't show up. Now, Jennings and Pearsall, they really showed me a lot. I feel like they could be a good, you know, 1-2 punch combo. I don't know what happened with the whole Debo Samuel fallout. You know, that's going to hurt a little bit. But Christian McCaffrey, he's going to have to stay off the injury bug and show his ass. So if he shows his ass, I think that's going to open up a lot for Brock and Brandon Ayuk and, you know, and the wide receivers to really do a lot more. But they're going to have to show up. And I don't think them sucking is going to be too much to blame on Brock, because he has the weapons to not suck. So I think they're going to be all right. I think losing Debo is going, they're going to have to refigure some of their, you know, some of their game plan and some of their plays to put somebody else in his spot to where it'll work. So I think Pearsall and Jennings will be some great key points. Of course, you still got Kerry Kittle. He's still an animal. To me, I'll be honest, he's probably one of the top three tight ends in the league.
I'm going to let him go.
Okay.
when he wants to be. Like, you know, this is just my visual, you know, my visual opinion on watching. So, you know, but yeah, other than that, you know, please, you know, by all means, lose 13 to 14 games for me. I'll be a happy fan. But, you know, that's my opinion on the 49ers. You know, let me know if I should pick you up, Brock, you know, for a third year. Were you trying to make a third run at a championship for my fantasy? Let me know. But if you're planning on stinking, also let me know.
all of our people at home, you know, he said Kerry Kittle, but, you know, we're looking at George Kittle.
Like, George Kittle. Let me go. I don't know why I always do that.
As far as I know, George Kittle was not a New Jersey Net. As far as I know, like, I don't know that. I can't say that for sure. But, you know, I'm not. I do this all the time. Oh no! Look,
I don't know why.
It's understandable. Like, we look, like, when you did it, I was like, at first I was like, oh yeah. And it was like, oh wait.
Yeah, see, I heard it and I saw it kick in on Rob's face. Oh my god, that's
wrong. I said it and didn't realize. I don't know why I always do that.
we all the black men. That's gonna happen. Look, just because what, like, I've seen it with my dad, like, he will fuck any and every name up. It's just what the fuck happens. Like, that's just it. So
that tells our age and how long we've been watching sports.
Exactly. Because Kerry Kittle, I don't think anybody in this audience heard the name Kerry Kittle in the last 20 years. Like, that might be including Kerry Kittle's family. Shout out to Kerry Kittle. Like, the running gun, New Jersey Nets, like, back in those final days, like, they motherfucking killed it. But I haven't seen that motherfucker since I can't think how long. Like,
no. With that being said, probably one of Rob's favorite things to go ahead and say whenever he talks about this team. Jerry Jones sell the team. You know, as my homeboy Rob here being a international Cowboys hater, you know, and sometimes I jump on that bandwagon with him whenever these people.
Only sometimes.
Sometimes.
Okay, sometimes. A lot of the times I jump on this bandwagon, you know.
Motherfucker, do you get off?
They driving the wagon. What you mean?
You might Price be right. Driving the wagon.
Rob just in the passenger seat.
I just buy a ticket and ride just like anybody else. This motherfucker captain ship.
You right. I drive that mug with a fifth of Henny in my hand too at times.
Swerving, nigga.
I'm hitting everything out on blue and gray, damn it. We gonna get through this. Rob, I know. I want to hear why you want him to sell. I know why I would want him to sell the team, but why do you want him to sell the team?
So there was a quote that Jerry Jones had not too long ago, and I'm going to read it to y'all because that's what I do to y'all. Seems like every goddamn week. Just because we sign him, meaning Micah Parsons, doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt 6 games last year. I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out 2/3 of the year. That was to allude, of course, about Dakota Rain Prescott. And the thing about it is, though, like, because this happens with fans and this happens with owners, I would think, is that they look at what a player does and what happens with them and why they shouldn't invest. Now, everybody, all of us included, have seen Micah Parsons play. Motherfucker plays like a demon. He should be the highest paid pass rusher right now. He should have been the highest paid pass rusher last year, possibly even the year before. But the thing about it is Jerry wants to wait to the fucking last minute to basically pay him. Did the same thing with Dak twice. Kind of did the same thing with CeeDee Lamb. Did the same thing with a bunch of other players. He seems to have this glutton for just wasting fucking money. Like, you do everybody, there's always a new highest paid everything damn near every year. There's a highest paid tackle, there's a highest paid kicker, there's a highest paid water boy. Everybody's money goes up because that's what it's supposed to do. But if you basically are looking at this as, well, I don't want to pay him right now because he might get hurt, motherfucker, what do you think you're running here? You're not running a macrame factory. You're not running a pillow like boutique. You're running an NFL franchise. Motherfuckers collide. Motherfuckers get hurt. But here you are. Oh, man, we can't pay Micah Parsons because, oh, he might get hurt. Newsflash, motherfucker. He's probably gotten hurt before. He's going to get hurt again. They ain't made an impenetrably motherfucker yet. Tom Brady missed a year. Has been hurt, the GOAT that people motherfucking talk about. Everybody gets injured. Nobody goes through their whole career unscathed because there's impossible. You're basically running through a landfill doing cartwheels. That's what the fuck is happening with this. So if you don't want to pay a motherfucker because you think they're going to get hurt, get out the game just like you feel like they should. Pay these motherfuckers what they owe or get the fuck out of it, dog. Just leave. You're 82. Your liver is probably 96. Get the fuck gone. Get your Johnny Walker Blue and walk your ass to the motherfucking Golden Parachute. Get out. Just go. If that's what you feel like, dog.
He said that nicely. Jarvis, I'm going to allow you to go ahead and say why you may think that they want to sell a team before I go ahead and let my piece be spoken.
Right.
Now, it's a two-parter. As a Cowboys fan, yes, Jerry, you are the reason why we suffer. We've been wanting you to sell the team. We might have to, you know, make him sell it unknowingly, get him drunk and put some papers in front of him, you know, and he signed without really knowing. That might be the only way, you know. But I'm not as against the whole comment as these might be, because I made a very simple comment on Facebook, say around 2020, and I got ate up for it. The year Dak broke his ankle when we franchise tagged Dak, and he broke his ankle, and I made a comment like, well, damn, good thing we ain't give him that money yet. And everybody ate me up in the comments, you know. And, you know, you got to think about it, you know. Y'all talk about players like, you know, Paul George and all that, but, you know, you got to think about those things. If you have an injury-prone player in general, not saying Micah is injury-prone, just in general, you're kind of hesitant to give such a large contract to a person that's injury-prone and could potentially miss a lot of games. You know, you think about those things, you know, but I think the only reason he's getting flack is because it is Jerry Jones. And we've been calling for him to step down for years now. He needs to go. The only thing that's going to help the Cowboys is when he finally hangs it up, retires, or sells the team. So I get that. Yes, we want you to sell the team, but not for the whole injury comment, because I do agree you got to look at those things too. You know, how many times, how often do this person get injured? But I don't think this whole thing pertains to Micah Parsons. Like you say, he plays hard. The type of player he is, it's possible he's going to get injured, because he plays balls to the wall 110% every down. And honestly, that's the type of player you want. He's still a skilled player. Like, he's good enough for that money. He deserves that money. You know, so, like, he should get the money, Jerry. He's earned it. He deserves it. So, talking about Micah like that, that was a no-no, point blank.
Okay. As my two co-hosts have just said that I drive the Dallas hate bus, I'm going to go ahead and help everybody out.
Oh, an accelerator.
Boy, I'm about to floor to Jerry Jones, you geriatric, Ben-gay, binge-rubbing ass owner of a motherfucker. Look here. You the same person who has quotes that says, I'm a monkey fan. This is this person. This is the same person who said if we had picked Manziel, he'd guarantee our relevance for 10 years. He was that person. He's also the same person that talked about Brandon Whedon so much. This quarterback Whedon, he can drive the ball down the field. He's a thing of beauty on throwing the football. His passing motion and his arm, frankly, you won't see a more gifted passer power accuracy and entire aspect of it. That's your owner. Right, that's your owner. Okay, this is the same person who said only 7% of NFL fans have ever been inside a NFL stadium. Well, maybe only will be. I don't know, Jerry. There's a lot of people in the world that go through NFL stadiums. You know, this is the same person who said stats are for losers. They relish in them. This is the same person that y'all have that owns this team, bro.
Is this your king?
Yeah, is this your king? Is this your king? This is the same person who says, whenever he had to go pay Emmett, he said, personally, it was hard to see Emmett in red. He said this whenever Emmett Smith left. This is the same man who said quote after quote after quote of ridiculous shit on the regular basis, and he still owns the team. He was just on video talking about a man's private part whenever he was with Jamie Foxx. Come on now, dog. That's y'all dude. That's y'all dude.
I didn't know that part.
You didn't see that?
That's new. I missed that one.
Oh, boy. I'm gonna run that clip after the show. Y'all know whenever he's telling Jamie about it, he got an 8 and you know what? Yeah, come on now, Jones. Come on now. This is what he was saying. This is what he was saying. Those are his words, Rob. This is the dude who owns this team. Okay. He's also the same man that said, I drive a Lincoln Town Car. I highly doubt that. I highly doubt that.
He is old.
Like, he may be old, but he ain't driving a Lincoln Town Car, Rob.
He might not have his keys. That might be the part that I don't believe.
He ain't driving. Yeah.
Like, he might not. Yeah. They might have hit keys from Jerry. They like, look, we got to take some of. We can't take this team away. We're going to take some shit, all right? He always finds a way, though. It's swarmy motherfucker.
Look, this dude.
I mean, they should be able to medically say he's not fit, something.
They could look at his face and be like, look at this. You want this on the road? And I'll be like, yeah, nah, I don't want that on the road. Nah, I don't.
This dude shouldn't. He's the same person who told y'all if he could write a check big enough, he'd write two checks, one for heaven and one for another Super Bowl. And the problem is, he can't write the check for the Super Bowl. He can write the check that'll help him to get there, but he's always late at putting out the check. This has happened time after time after time after time again. He waited forever to sign Dak. I remember back whenever Dak wanted $100 million for 5 years, and I remember thinking, money's about to go up again. That's about to be chump change. And before Dak can reset the market, give it to him.
Yep.
Your franchise tag. Mm-hmm. You did it to him twice and had to pay him $40 million apiece. That was 80 of the $100 million that he wanted. And then he came back and had a good year, and now you had to pay him more. You could have had him for less.
Maybe he is an advocate for high contracts. Maybe he's the hero that we deserve. Like, maybe he's like, maybe we looking at this all wrong and looking at this different. Yes, I'm turning on my own fucking argument. I think maybe it's something with him is like, he's like, man, I want this person to get as much money as godly possible. I'm going to basically wait to the last minute to give him as much money as he possibly can. And it's just like, maybe he's like, maybe he is Daddy Warbucks in it. You know, maybe he's just like, just big pockets Rockefeller. You know, it's something that where it's like, I'm going to overpay for everything that I basically can. Just because I can. Why not? Let me do that.
And this is where I'll continue your first.
He does have the money.
Yeah,
got plenty of money.
He's also the person who tries to skate uphill all the time.
That's true. That is also true.
He is a habitual, I'm a skate up this hill.
Don't give me no money arguments, Jerry, because you got more money than you know what to do with. You could sign them checks.
He does. He does. He does.
And as expensive as it is to go to your games, you're making it back.
It's like $9.
You're charging people $100 to watch the screen in the parking lot. You're charging people $100 just to watch this big screen in the parking lot. That's crazy.
That is wild.
It really is. That really is. Now
I can watch my own big screen for free.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, Jerry, I'm not gonna say that I'm gonna hate you forever, but I am hoping for the day that you gotta give Steven the keys to that vehicle. And he park your old ass in the nursing home somewhere. Just immediately. Immediately. Now, all over the news has been something that people have been talking about all the time. And it's Cam and Jalen Hurts. And I felt like it was a tinfoil do-rag time. Okay, just a little bit. Look, I want people to put the tinfoil do-rags.
Put on, Eric. Come on.
If you need to put it on, though. Put it on.
With the flap.
All right. Yeah, tie it
I'm here. I'm here, dog.
Look. A bunch of y'all have this thing where y'all can't see what Cam Newton is saying. So I'm going to help clarify what he's saying. If you were here for that magical run and you watched football, that 15-1 Panthers team was Cam Newton. Okay?
It was insane.
It was Cam Newton. It was an insane run. He had a horrible moment getting to the Super Bowl in that fumble. Yes, we'll all remember that. But what you guys won't talk about is he won through the playoffs and how he went that far to a Super Bowl with a team. It was the Berenstain Bears. This is what he had. Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore and them had more talent than he had out there at wide receiver. Let's be real. If any of y'all have ever seen The Replacements with Keanu Reeves, he had goddamn Clifford Franklin at wide receiver in Ted Ginn. He could run past everybody and couldn't catch the ball.
Very true. And would run out of bounds if he did.
And run out of bounds.
Yeah, Clifford, not The Replacements.
Yes. This is what he had. He had Clifford Franklin out there at wide receiver. course. I'm going to pause this. Cam was a Superman, though.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Superman for that run. Now, everybody who's saying Jalen Hurts is just a flat-out better quarterback, I want you to think about if you took Cam Newton off of that team that he bought to the Super Bowl and put Jalen Hurts there. Could Jalen Hurts get the exact same results? Because I can tell you, if you took prime Cam and put him on that team that Jalen Hurts currently has, they win that Super Bowl. Hell, if they don't average 35 a game, scoring-wise, mm-hmm. with that team.
Yep.
I feel like too many people are downplaying. They downplaying Cam and that MVP. And they saying that MVP don't mean nothing. He ain't win the Super Bowl. Cam was extremely good that year.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all act like Jalen Hurts threw a shit ton of touchdowns last year. He was 18-5. It's not horrible, but it's not nothing like, man, that's a bang up year. It's not like he threw a 30 piece.
Right.
Not like he threw 40.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the amount of weapons he had around.
Right.
He couldn't get the job done the other year, bro. And they went and got him an all-world rusher to hand the ball off to, who had like 2,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They acting like that defense and the tush push and all of that shit. Could you imagine Cam with a tush push?
He wouldn't need it. Like that. No, man,
but could you imagine that, dude?
Yeah. That's Cam Newton saying. Behind that he gargantuan ass
jumping
line.
Over everybody.
Right. Like that big ass line that they had, like Cam Newton having that level of like protection. That would be cheating.
That's what I'm saying. Just imagine if he had that. I hear all of the people out there. I hear y'all noise hollering by Jalen won the Super Bowl. But I want you to remember something. Cam may not have won, but could Jalen have gotten that Panthers team to the Super Bowl?
No.
I don't think so.
They don't go 15-1. Definitely yeah. don't.
Nope.
And that's on top of that. 15-1. Almost a perfect mm-hmm. season. And you telling me that all of y'all are just ready to co-sign Jalen Hurts like Saquon Barkley ain't there. They don't have the average line size of 6'6", 330 pounds up front. Y'all gonna act like he don't have A.J. Brown out there. Y'all gonna act like that defense doesn't have a hellified secondary out there. Y'all just now. Granted, Carolina did have a really good defense. Yeah, he got Dallas Goedert. The most
Goddard Cam had, just dump it off to
exactly right. The most Cam had was what's his name? He was a tight end.
Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen,
third leg. Greg,
mm-hmm.
There you go. From his rap song, yeah.
The sixth floor crew.
Yeah, the sixth floor crew, bro. His best weapon was Greg. And then you could say, oh, he had McCaffrey, but that was after that. Mm-hmm. He had Steve Smith for a short amount of time. Kelvin Benjamin never panned out.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
So let's be real. Yeah, Cam had a defense. He ain't had no offense. Jalen Hurts had the defense, the offense, the running mm-hmm. back, the linebackers, the secondary.
All set up for him.
He had everything there. So I just want y'all to remember, whenever y'all having them debates about Cam wasn't that good, Cam, that MVP don't mean nothing. He was the best in the league and took that team to the Super Bowl. And y'all just dismiss it. And y'all look at Jalen Hurts and say, he's that much better than Cam because he won a Super Bowl. Dog, Jalen Hurts couldn't do what Cam did to get that team to a Super Bowl. And I'll be real with you, if Cam had the team before Saquon Barkley that Jalen Hurts had, Cam's probably still in the league doing his thing if he had that type of team, dog.
You want to be real about it. The defense won them that Super Bowl. If it wasn't for the defense putting it on Kansas City, a lot of them opportunities wouldn't even been there.
Yeah, but not on that.
So he didn't put them on his back.
Jalen didn't
put him on his back and win the Super Bowl. No.
Exactly. And they act like Saquon Barkley didn't just rush for 2,000 yards. I don't think Cam had a nigga sniff over 1,200 yards.
I don't think so.
Not that I could think.
I remember people that he had in the backfield couldn't do what he could do.
Cam was a beast. Y'all better stop disrespecting that man.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
I'm talking to you, Ryan Clark.
Ryan Clark need to be quiet, dude, because if I'm not mistaken, didn't Cam run his ass over one time?
Probably did. Shit. I know he made Petty Cam come out because Ryan Clark wanted to make that statement. Petty Cam listed off all the accolades he had compared to Ryan Clark and told him, boy, we can't relate. You can't relate to me.
Can't relate. And I'll say this before we dip about it. I just want you to think about it. People play Madden all the time and make fantasy teams. You just imagine Cam Newton, prime Cam Newton, behind that Philly offensive line, and they call that goddamn tush push. They might be able to call that bitch 4-5 yards out, and he probably gonna get that shit, because I done seen Cam jump 2-3 yards. They might call that shit on a 3rd and 5, and he get it. That's how good Cam was.
That would be insane, boy. That would be insane.
Cam used to tell him, everybody get a hat, and I got the extras. Now imagine him telling that big ass line in Philly that shit. Everybody grab a hat. Shit, they push the line 2-3 yards by themselves. He gonna jump another 2-3 yards after that. They might call the 3rd and 5, and Cam say, coach, just call the tush push. I'm gonna jump over everybody. And we gonna get. If he did that on that line, and I believe he probably could have got away with it, we would have been yelling for them to change that shit immediately.
Right.
They think that it's an uproar now. Boy, Cam would have been back there going 3rd and 4 and getting that shit, boy. We would have said, hey, bro, they need to call the emergency meeting right now. Something got to happen. He jumping over the line. They pushing 3 yards. Mm-mm. Get this together. I just want you people to remember that. Just remember that. Always remember that. Now, from one
field. Can I make one statement, though, about it? One more statement. I hate, as sports fans, and I'm guilty of it, that we try to say, oh, this one play determined the whole game. It's 60 minutes of football. Yeah, he didn't jump on the fumble. But in a Super Bowl, you know how high your adrenaline is running? You don't ever know what he's seen. You know, at that moment as it's happening, we could all say, oh, I would have jumped on it. But your adrenaline pumping, you in live action play, you know, he might have didn't really see it at that moment. You know, he probably was blinded by other stuff. You know, you got other people around, you worrying about getting hit. So, like, you never know what was going through, what his vision was at that moment to where he didn't jump on it. And from the looks of it, when I look back at it, it looked like he stepped back because it looked like he saw somebody else about to come. Like, it looked like one of his linemen was going to get it. And he was like, oh, let me step. My lineman got it. That's kind of what it looked like or might have been going through his head. You never know. So, like, and just to say that one play did not lose. There's a lot of stuff that went through the whole 60 minutes to determine the outcome. So, putting that much on him not jumping on the fumble, I think is real unfair. And we need to stop doing that, sports fans.
Yeah. But Von Miller did parlay that into multiple contracts.
That's all I got to say.
Von Miller did do that. He parlayed that into multiple contracts. He got that.
Yeah. Definitely.
Now,
from. Damn,
girl, King. We got what we represent. From the football field to the baseball diamond, MLB. And we have to talk about this. The other night, we probably seen one of the most exciting performances ever. Now, with that being said, did Young Naysayer, aka Nick Kurtz, have the best offensive performance of all time? 6-for-6, 4 home runs, a double, 8 RBIs. That's a wonderful thing. 4 home runs.
The only rookie to ever do it.
Not one, not two, not three, but 4 times. That's crazy work. That's crazy work. Biscuit. I'm gonna throw this one to you first. Whenever you saw Rob put this up here, 6-for-6, 4 home runs, a double, 8 RBIs. What did you have to say about the young man's performance as a rookie? Don't worry about it.
I just want to say we live in a different time. Because 20 years ago, I don't know if he gets 2 home runs. He would have either been intentionally walked or they would have pegged the shit out of him. I just know we live in a different time. For him to be able to hit 4 home runs and go 6-for-6, that is, I'm glad they threw to him because that's amazing. And I don't know what whose decision was to keep throwing. I don't really agree with the pegging situation, but to throw to him 6 times, all right, once, okay, it might have been a fluke. 2 home runs, then you got to start thinking, hold on. But to let him get a 3rd one, and you still throwing the ball to him is insane. He hot. That's a hot game he having. And there's no way I'm letting him go 6-for-6. No freaking way. 2 home runs would have been max. Like, nah. We got to send his ass on intentional walk. No way. Ain't no way I'm letting him go 6-for-6, 8 RBIs. Never. That's the manager's fault. I don't know what he was thinking, but no, never. Ain't no way.
Bruh. They routed the Astros straight into the ground the other night with their performance with those 4. They had 6 home runs of the team, and 4 of them was him. What do you think about the young rookie's performance the other night?
So I'm always like big on Young Naysayer, aka Nick Kurtz with a hard R. Like, I mean, this man is phenomenal. Like, the fact that the A's basically are blessed with this kind of talent is crazy. But what I would say, is it bigger than any other offensive performance that we have in history? And I'll basically put up one we had not too long ago. What was it, last year? Where you had Shohei Ohtani, 6-for-6. Look at that. Look at that on the bottom line. 6-for-6, 3 home runs, 2 doubles, 10 RBIs, 2 stolen bases. And this was the game, if y'all remember, this was the game that he actually got to 55th in Miami. Like, it wasn't that many people there, but it was like he got to 50-50, the only 50-50 season that has happened. I think Nick Kurtz's performance last night was bigger than it? Yes, because it's hard as hell to basically be a rookie in this league, but it's harder as hell to basically do 4 home runs, even though they got that short porch in Houston. Like, it's basically, it's hard as fuck to basically do and keep up that level of performance as a rookie. And he's been doing the goddamn thing, and I'm actually loving to see it for him, not for John Fisher, because fuck John Fisher, but like for him, you know, hard R Nick Kurtz. I like it, dog. Keep up the good work. Best performance of a player just because of the magnitude. Even though the magnitude of Ohtani had 50-50 on it, it's still big for a rookie to hit 4 home runs. And it's probably, that's going to be one of those records that's probably never going to get, beat. I don't think there's ever going to be another rookie that's going to hit 4 home runs in a game. Ever.
I think if a pitcher, if anybody gets hot like that, walking, get him out of here. Now, from the baseball diamond to the square circle, WWE. Look, WWE has lost someone, you know. It was the Hulkster, Hulkamania. And, you know, Hulk Hogan, ill of the dead. Look, we all know who Hulk Hogan was. He was a huge staple in WWE. But one of my brothers here at Bermigo's Podcast has a twofold of a side to talk about this. And I'm going to go ahead and let Rob talk about this because he got a couple of angles he want to cover on this one for y'all. You know,
I got ice on this. I got ice on this.
I'll let you ice on it.
So
do the Kobe ISO for him.
All right, so I'm gonna put it like this because there's been a lot of conversations about the passing of Hulk Hogan, aka Terry Bollea. You got to basically put in both of those because in court documents, that's basically what he said. There's Terry Bollea and then Hulk. I will say this when it comes to Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan is the most important wrestling figure that has ever existed, point blank, period. He's the person that at the advent of cable TV, he was right there as being the central figure, even though he was a playoff of superstar Billy Graham, and he was just that playoff of that. And this was his second stint with the WWF. This is still the guy that whenever you talk about wrestling, whenever you talk about for the last really 50 years. This is the seminal piece that anybody can come back to and say, that is what I think of when I think of wrestling. It's Hulk Hogan. It's red and yellow. It's the guy that's real America playing on the guitar. It's everything about that. That is the dude that basically laid rest the other day very much. However, when it comes to being a black man in America and basically seeing that this motherfucker basically said what he said, and I'll pull up the quotes of what he said, but for what he said with his racist remarks, which came as he basically was fucking his best friend's wife, and it was recorded on video, and basically the sex tape was put out to the public for everything. So that's one bad notch against him. So, but this was a man that basically said something that was absolutely offensive, absolutely something that basically, you know, I read it right here. I mean, he's talking about his daughter dating a black man. I'd rather if she was going to fuck some nigger, I'd rather have her marry an 8 foot tall nigger worth $100 million like a basketball player. I guess we're all a little racist, fucking nigger. That's what he said, basically, dog. That's the man that basically also was laid to rest. So as we basically talk about the guy that was red and yellow, was Hulkamania, he lives, you know, live strong, eat your vitamins, all that bullshit. We also got a blatant fucking racist that basically didn't want his daughter to date somebody that was outside of his race, even though that motherfucker was brown as this. That's the dude that basically everybody has to talk about. When we say complicated history, when people say that shit, it's absolutely bullshit because there's nothing complicated about it. Because the one thing I would say that really people are complicated about is that if you basically are to be what I just said in the first line where I'm like, hey, this man is the most important figure in wrestling. He is the guy that basically people looked up to as children. He is the person that basically made people happy. That can't be attributed to somebody that also said vile shit like that, who basically got on stage and Trump rallies and all this kind of shit. We can't basically attribute happiness to him, but you can, because that's what art is. Art is basically there when it's there. It gives you that feeling when you got that feeling, and you will never be able to take that away no matter what absolutely happens. You can separate art from the artist because that's how time works. Time is never going to be to where you're going to always remember what happened or what that person did in another time frame. I'm not a person that every time I hear James Brown song, I'm thinking of him beating his wife. I don't think whenever I hear Marvin Gaye or anything like that, or not Marvin Gaye, excuse me, Bill Withers, I think about him basically beating Stephanie Mills. I don't think about that kind of things when it happens, but I'm not saying that you can't. But the fact of the matter is, this isn't complicated to talk about. He did do bad things. Stone Cold is a person that basically beat multiple women in his past. It's not something that is hidden. It's something that is public record, but it's something that basically is going to be either looked over or it's going to be something that's going to be like, hey, he did it. It happened. But the thing about Terry Bollea, think about Hulk Hogan is when we talk about Ill of the Dead, that shit got to die. You could always talk about the dead for what they were. Because the thing about it is, the way I see it is, if you're basically going to say, hey, we can't speak ill of the dead, this isn't the time, like you had Elijah Burke and Devon Dudley and a bunch of motherfuckers perpetuating black people's quotes saying, hey, guys, time is past. We don't need to let's start love. That motherfucker that basically said my daughter should basically marry an 8-foot nigger, basically that motherfucker did not live mm-hmm. his life as somebody that you have to not wish ill upon. That motherfucker said that shit. He basically said that, and he thought he wasn't going to get caught, and he did. That's, you don't have to basically hold your feelings or tell somebody that they need to hold theirs. That motherfucker did what he did. Let's call him out on it. As he's laid to rest, hope he burns even more. Like, you can basically say that, and it's fine. Don't try to basically legislate somebody else's feelings just because he died. He died because he died. His heart basically fucked him, probably because of the steroids, probably because of ribs. I don't really give a fuck. But when it comes to that motherfucker basically doing the shit he did, don't say, well, you can't speak ill of the dead, because you know what he didn't do? He didn't do the right things when he was living. You know, that's his whole thing. We talk about participation trophies and all that kind of bullshit. Saying you can't speak ill of the dead of motherfuckers like this is the biggest participation trophy you can ever get. Because when you only say that about mm-hmm. people that fuck people over when they live it. You want to earn, don't speak ill of the dead. Be good to people. Be right to people. Even when it comes to integrity, when the lights ain't on you, you're having to act, be right in those times. And you don't have to worry about that being said after you lay to rest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jarvis, anything you want to say about Hulk Hogan before we move on?
I just want to say, if y'all think what the internet is saying is bad, you lucky Billy Graham ain't here during the death of Hulk Hogan. Because I think that man probably would have went on Facebook for a live party as much as he hated Billy Graham. I mean, as much as he hated Hulk Hogan. Every day he couldn't stand the man. Now, granted, yes, he has said what he said. I do acknowledge what he's given to wrestling. Because he honestly, no matter how we feel, he is the reason we have the wrestling we have today. He is the reason why we are seeing it as big as it is. Now, granted, I wasn't a big Hulk Hogan fan. Like, I came to wrestling in the 90s. So, like, you know, Hulk Hogan pretty much was a big 80s star. You know, he was still relevant in the 90s, especially with the NWO in the late 90s. But early 90s, when I really started watching wrestling, Hulk Hogan wasn't really the guy. You know, it was, you know, I came in a time in the New Age era. I was Yokozuna. Bret Hart was champion when I came in, you know. And then I was watching WCW also. So, like, I didn't really get a lot of Hulk Hogan until he switched over to NWO. But, you know, in the words of Booker T, Hulk Hogan, we coming for you now. But that's all it is, you know. Like, and granted, I just realized something that I felt like was very fitting for his wrestling character, that he was the last person to hold the championship when it had WWF and the first person to hold the title when it had WWE on it, which is very fitting for his wrestling character. You know, I don't really have any likes for him because of all that whole situation. But let's be honest, he's probably not the first, though he's definitely not the first, and he ain't going to be the last wrestler to say some shit like that. You know, there's rumors about Ric Flair. Even though Ric Flair is my GOAT, I love Ric Flair. You know, there's rumors about him saying stuff like that. You know, so it's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen, and we got to learn sometime to separate the character from the person. You know, we can appreciate the character even though we don't like the person. You know, even with R. Kelly shit, I still bump R. Kelly music. I don't care. You know, the Pied Piper, R&B, you know, even though he did some down, bad, dirty shit as a person, you know, his music is great. But that's all it is, you know, just separated. And, you know, all the whole speaking ill will, like, in general, you can't expect people, especially if somebody's done something to you personally. They don't have to say nothing good about the person. Like, they can say what they want bad about the person, like, because being dead or alive, like, that's how they felt. That's how they felt. Oh, well, like, move on. You know, like, just because you like the person, like, don't expect everybody else to have grace. Like, no, if he wanted to say, fuck you, you know, you piece of shit, hey, that's how they feel. Oh, well. So, that's all my two cents on it, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't go far with R. Kelly, but I would say, like, yeah, when it comes to Hulkster, he was a union busting racist that basically was fucking his friend's wife and got caught. Like, yeah. that's as much of that as far as like when he was basically, because yeah, one of the first toys that I ever got, like wrestling toys I ever got, my mom was in Atlanta. Basically, she brought back four toys. It was Harlem Heat,
mm-hmm.
Ric Flair, Hollywood Hogan. That was one of the reasons that I started watching wrestling. So, like, he is basically mm-hmm. part of why I'm making this whole argument, and basically while I'm doing, you know, this kind of shit. But it's also mm-hmm. I ain't gonna take away the happiness that I had for that time. But I will basically see that, like, mm-hmm. I will basically say that, yeah, he was a union busting racist that basically was fucking his best friend's wife. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of wish Harlem Heat would have got a chance to beat him up. It's just me. It's just
you, I mean, you would hope. You like, just stomp him in his nuts.
Yeah. Real quick.
Going back to Boondocks.
Yeah. You know. But as we move away from the death of Hulk Hogan,
let's get lighter.
We got to talk about boxing. And in specific with boxing, Rob has come to the conclusion to ask me, is Jake Paul a circus bear? And I'll let him explain why he feels like that.
Because here's the thing with Jake Paul. So, like, if y'all basically saw that he got ranked and everything like that, but it seems like there's this traveling circus. It's like, come on, let's see actual legit fighters fight this guy that just really likes to do boxing. And it's like, it seems like there's level of spectacle that's around it. That's, hey, I want to see Jake Paul get his ass whooped. So I'm like, is this like back in the day where you had Bobo Brazil or whoever, basically what it was back then, fight or wrestle a bear? Like, is he basically this, you know, he's a work bear, not a shoot bear, brother? Like, is he a work bear for the, you know, for boxing right now? Is he the guy that people are just gonna want to see fight Anthony Joshua, fight whoever, basically? I think they said Badu Jack. Even though he said he won't be able to fight him until he fights somebody ranked in the cruiserweight. But, like, is he basically somebody that's just a level of spectacle around him just to watch his ass get beat? Is that the whole thing about this? Like, is this a level of penance that basically Jake Paul is going to have to pay? So it's like, is he right now a traveling circus bear? And is that his point? Because it could very well be to get people more interested in boxing, see more of these fighters that they might not even know about that have been putting in work, but just so they can see it, because they at least know of Jake Paul and know of wanting to get his ass whooped. That maybe that's what it is. So I don't know if y'all, you know, kind of see it that way or anything like that.
Jake Paul is a circus bear. He is one. There's no doubt in my mind when she said this. Jake Paul has figured out how to shortcut life with YouTube and Instagram followers to get into a division of boxing that has a murderer's row up top. Okay. And having him get into this murderer's row of boxers, I hope that he finds peace whenever somebody like Jai Opatai goes ahead and three pieces him upside his head and he lays down for the count. I hope that he finds peace. Is one of these guys who's in that top ranking tries to stomp him out in the boxing ring with their hands and put him on the ground. Because I believe this, that he's not ready. He believes he's ready, but he's not ready. I also believe that, hey, if you were to get knocked the hell out, wouldn't even feel bad for you, bro. Wouldn't even feel bad. Now, have you drawn some attention to people who are trying to box? Yes. Did you help Ben Askren? Yes. You helping Ben Askren was a big thing, and I was like, I respect that. I respect you helping Ben Askren, mm-hmm. who had mm-hmm. like one of the first double lung transplant, which is right. amazingly wild.
Right.
Like, for wow, you to get two is... lungs, bro? Yeah. And you even made Jorge Masvidal go in there and respect that man. And he wished him well, which that was big on Jorge to be a real big man after kneeing Ben Askren in the face and setting the world record for the fastest UFC knockout on him. Because I know even if I'd had a double lung transplant, he might have come to shake my hand and I might have told him something else. But, you know, he's a much more positive person than me. Yeah. I'd had a few words for him mm-hmm. first before I'd shake his hand.
Not me and my lungs would have cursed his ass. Me and my new lungs would have cursed his ass up.
You bet. I'd have been like, you just don't know. I got new breath in these lungs. I'm about to let you have this one. But, Jake, do I believe that you should be ranked top 15? No.
No.
Do I think you should get a title That's shot? No. Yeah, yeah, he's top 15, though.
Yeah, number
he's
14 right now.
He's ahead of a guy who's 20-0. Mm-hmm. A guy who's undefeated.
Yep.
So,
Yipper.
Do I believe that he should be that high? No. Do I believe that he should get a title shot? No. Do I believe that he will get one? Yes. And I believe if they decide to stick him in there with a Jai Oppertai, he will get murdered. He is not ready for that. It is the equivalent to you going from 4 degrees to 34 degrees, okay, or on a treadmill, okay? Mm-hmm. You knew you wasn't ready for this shit.
Yeah.
You knew you was not ready for whoever told you you was ready for 34 degrees, it lied to you. Mm-hmm. They lied to you. They told you the incline ain't that bad, bro. Just skip all the rest of them and we're going to go mm-hmm. to the top. And you did it. And now you about to be in an uphill fight for your life, and that ain't pretty. Do I hope to see this? Yes. Yes, I do. Because guess what? Yeah, you might be thinking that you're changing boxing business, but I also know this. You ain't never been in the ring with anybody of the caliber of any of them dudes that's in the top 15.
Right.
You ain't fought one person who's young like them. You ain't fought one person who got as much experience as them. See, age plays a great factor. Youth is a son of a gun. It is. And you're going to find out whenever you get in the ring with the guys the same age as you or the guys that's very able-bodied who's been doing this, it's a different ball game, bro. It's a whole different ball game. But, Visky, do you think that he's a circus bear like Rob called?
Definitely, because nowadays with the way all the sports is going, it's more of a business instead of really wanting competition, which is sad. But yes, because I guess they figure he's bringing in more eyes, he could possibly bring in more money. So they want him to be up there. And also, bringing in business also bringing in the business includes bringing in people that don't like it. So like when you people are going to look forward to him getting his ass beat. So that's also going to help ratings, help bring in money. So they looking on that aspect too. It's not just about, just putting him up there just because. It's a reason. He has fans that they going to bring in. Then it's going to be people like us that just really want to see him get slept on the mat. And I know I would look forward to it. That's one I would watch because I just want to see him get slept. One good time. Boom. Sleep. And I feel like that's mainly what it is. It's a business move. So they're going to have a circus as long as the circus is bringing in money. And unfortunately, real boxing fans are going to have to suffer because of it. And that's just what it is now. I hate to say it, but real boxing fans are going to suffer and be mad because they're going to continue to probably rank him above people that don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. He's not going to really fight people that he should be fighting or that's in a good age range. He's probably going to keep fighting people past their prime and stuff like that until he get a title shot. But They might not want to do that because give him a title shot against the champion, unless they're going to rig it up. That's going to look bad. He's right. Going to look bad. Boxing, that's all I got to say about that.
Don't you do this to me. Don't you do this to me, boxing. Don't you do this to me. You let that man go in and get his ass knocked off.
Just like the whole Layla, you're too old, baby. Don't do it.
Yeah, how old is Layla Ali? I was seeing those.
She like 40s. She's up there.
She is 47. God damn.
Yeah, I'm telling you. This is what I say. I understand where she's coming from. How she thinks that she's gonna, you know, fuck up Clarissa Shields. Clarissa Shields is a spry 29. And she's currently still doing this. Now, granted, you got the height, you have the height and shit on him. The problem is the rust.
This ain't WWE. You can't train for 3 months and come put on the WWE, man. This ain't WWE. Like, this is real boxing. You know, come on now.
So I'll say this. Because I didn't realize this, me and this nigga shared a birthday. George Foreman came back at 45 years old to become the world, the oldest world champion. Now, granted, she's 2 years older than that. But there is a level of precedent that is here that basically she might have a chance to do some shit like this. So, I mean, you never know. Yeah. All right?
George is that dude, though.
He was. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's a boxing Hall of Famer. I mean, she is a boxing Hall of Famer as far as I know. Like, I think she's
that woman, though, too, though.
Yeah, 24 and old. Like, she ain't never been beaten. Yeah, I mean,
she knocked out 21 people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some hope that could be kept alive when it comes to Layla Ali. Mm-hmm. All right. Like, I'm with you, girly. Like, you do your damn thing, Miss Mamas. Like, just go ahead. Like, go ahead, fight her. You know, like, I ain't put no money on it. But no, I mean, I get it. Get in the ring. If you want to put your dukes up, put your dukes up. All right. You've been doing it. You the daughter of the greatest. Like, go ahead. Make it happen.
Look, Clarissa's 30 years old. She got you. By 17 years.
I mean, George Foreman had Michael Moore by 19 years. So, I mean, there's precedent. Foreman
also had power in both of his hands, like 6 Freightliners back to back.
Layla Ali got old woman strength. Like, just as you got old man strength, she got old woman strength. Like, she might have that within her head. She might have hands of stone. Like, you never know. Like, she might, those muscles might be rigid in there. Like, they might be like, she's like, and she going, bah, 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 bah. I mean, you never know. She might put those paws on. Like,
nah.
This is all I'm going to say. You know, you could tell, like, this generation of sports athletes a lot different from when George Foreman came back. I felt like back in them days, somebody at 40-something could come back. But in this new generation, with the new generation of young athletes, like, their athletic ability to me is 10 times greater than the older folks in that generation, especially when the older people tried to come back, you know, in the 80s and 90s or something like that, you know, so I don't know. Like, I'm scratching my head, but I'm not counting out. I feel you, Rob. Like, I'm not counting out if she, I mean, it depends. Has she been still keeping in shape, or is she just kind of like ain't been doing shit and want to just come back and just train hard for a few months?
She's in her thick phase as of right now.
That's the thing.
She's in her thick phase.
Now, if she's been exercising daily and still been in shape for the past buku years, then I can see. But if she just been a couch potato and want to just start training for a few months hard, I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see.
I feel like she's in her thick phases right now. She's enjoying home life. And I salute her for that. She can continue to enjoy home life. You know,
that's like me. I ain't been in shape. Could I get out there and do a whole band field show? Probably not.
I mean, not with that attitude.
I mean,
believe in yourself.
Right. I could probably go there for alumni day back to high school and still get it. You never know. I ain't counting myself out.
I don't know. You my boy, but you also the same dude who ran up and down the court three times, lit a cigarette, and went outside. We was 19, baby.
That is true. Got a point there.
I'm just gonna throw that one out there, dog. Some time happens, dude.
You're right.
We're gonna train right. For a little while.
Yeah, that is true.
We can go out there and show out after that. We'd be like, I got you now.
Based off that information, I might be changing my vote.
You supposed to put me out there like that. You put me out there like that.
Look. I'm a realist. Look, I know I ain't gonna play the outfield, but you can stick me on first right now.
Put it like this. I could play a whole game. I might not be able to do the halftime show, but I got enough energy to play all the songs for the whole game. From zero quarter, even the fifth quarter, I can hang.
But
a 12-minute halftime show, marching up and down. Go ahead. I ain't trying to drag it on. Go ahead.
I ain't got that one right now. But before we get up out of here, Rob MVC, what do y'all want to say before we get up out of here?
I'll start. Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Hopefully, y'all enjoy watching us as much as we like entertaining y'all. Always remember, like, subscribe, check us out on Blue Sky. Check us out. Oh, look at it, K right there. Like, just my nigga. But no, check us up. Check us out on Blue Sky. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Amazon Music. Check us out on Apple Podcasts. Check us out on Spotify. Check us out up in the sky. Check us out at Faster Than Speed and Train. Check us out with Green Eggs and Ham. Check us out all the time. Everything that basically you could check us out on, we are there waiting for you to check us out. So make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, make sure you tell your folks that we are here to entertain and basically talk shit and tell Hulk Hogan to rest in piss.
Anything you got to say?
Well, you know what? We are coming up, you know, finally, people have been missing it. We are coming up to football starting back every week. You know, we are not going to be missing it too much longer. You know, the 30th anniversary of the last Super Bowl the Cowboys won.
Ooh.
This might be finally our year, fellas. This might be finally our year. Even though it's been that long. I don't say it because I'm a realist. But
tell me if you heard this before. This might be the Cowboys year.
You know, I'm not a Cowboys fan unless I say it. You know, we got to say it. But, you know, we finally back to football. Also, next week, we're coming up on the go-home week to SummerSlam, the first two-night SummerSlam. So that's coming up. Make sure y'all check out some SummerSlam. You know, maybe we might talk about that coming up, you know, in the next couple of weeks.
Definitely.
That's all I got to say. Y'all be safe. Y'all enjoy, and that's it.
Toodaloo.
You heard them, boys. We're going to go ahead and get up out of here as usual. And we're out like this.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bra Migos podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.